Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's National Panic Day, Tony. When was the last time you panicked?
Tony Kornheiser, it's been a long time. 4 o'clock.
Wow, you like, beat the over-under, man.
5:30.
Yeah.
I panic often.
I was going to go 5:05. I was, you know, 5 o'clock was my over-under on you.
4 o'clock to me. I mean, there might have been some small tremors in between then and now, but 4 o'clock was the panic moment. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, more Russell Wilson intrigue, Kansas dumps Les Miles, and Gonzaga tries to stay unbeaten. But we begin today with the end of our long national nightmare. Dak Prescott has signed with the Cowboys.
Woo!
4 years, $160 million, $75 million due this year. Wilbon, is this a better deal for the Cowboys or for Dak?
For Dak, probably. But let me just go back into this for a second. When I saw this yesterday, I felt like you, long national nightmare over. I mean, the obsessive nature of the conversation about this is absurd. Because people have gotten these huge contracts. Quarterbacks get them every week, it seems. Jared Goff and Carson Wentz a little while ago. Hasn't worked out so well for them. And for people, you know, I understand that there's a cultural note to this, you know, to see a black quarterback, which there was an abundance of black quarterbacks, certainly not getting this huge money years ago. But now Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, they've all had these contracts. And the obsessive nature of this by the best reporters and insiders and influencers just obsessively talking about it every day like it's a stimulus check going to somebody who makes $75,000. The whole thing has been absurd to both the hosts of this show, but I guess there is some value in talking about the football part of it, not much. I mean, if Dak Prescott leads the Cowboys to the Super Bowl, it'll be a good deal for both of them. Anything short of that, it's a great deal for Dak because it's a hell of a lot of money, and the Cowboys could have gotten out from under some of this money by getting the deal done earlier, so they probably screwed up. But what's he done so far? He's put up some numbers, but he hasn't won anything. He's not Patrick Mahomes yet, not Russell Wilson at the same stage yet.
Let me echo pretty much what you're saying. I put Dak Prescott in the exact same category as Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
They are quarterbacks who, by virtue of inane reactions by ownerships, were put in positions to make a tremendous amount of money, more than they are probably worth. And good for them. Good for them. But you saw what happened in Minnesota with Kirk Cousins. He's a good quarterback, not a great quarterback, just what you saw in Washington. And I suspect it'll be similar with Dak Prescott. Now, he's going to be, the Cowboys undoubtedly will be installed as Super Bowl favorites by this evening. And that's insane, but that's what happens when they make a big signing. He will probably be at least required to win the NFC East. And he's the best quarterback there. Daniel Jones, the guy for the Giants, doesn't hold on to the ball well. Jalen Hurts, who we don't even know if he can pass yet, has been installed by the owner. So why do you bother to hire a coach? Why, if you're going to take over the team?
We don't know who the Washington quarterback is even going to be. We don't even know who that's going to be yet.
Taylor Heineke or Kyle Allen or somebody TBD. Right. Okay, so that's what we got. So Dak Prescott is supposed to at least win that division. To echo your first point, this is the end of First Take as we know it. They have nothing they can talk about because every day for 3 years, they have talked about the following two things.
Is Dak going to get his money?
When is he going to get his money, and what in God's name is wrong with Jerry? So that's off the table for them. I'd like to invite both Stephen A. and Max to be on this show with us anytime they want.
Anytime.
Because their show's done. They're done.
Everybody who covers football for the network, I guess, has to take vacation now. Because what else is there to do? Dak got his money. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Just a few weeks ago, the Cowboys left Dak out of promotional video to much hubbub. And now NBC Sports Northwest reports that the Seahawks did not mention Russell Wilson in a letter to their season ticket holders. The note mentions wide receivers DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, mentions new offensive coordinator Shane Waldron, and even new running game coordinator, yet another assistant coach, Andy Dickerson, but not Wilson. Tony, big deal, little deal, no deal at all.
So I am sobered by the fact that when this thing came out that Dak Prescott wasn't in the hype video, I said he's going to go crazy, he's going to leave the team. Obviously, he did not. I'm not that stupid. I was wrong about that. But, and there's a qualitative difference here. Dak Prescott always said publicly he wanted to play for Dallas. He never said he didn't want to play for Dallas. Russell Wilson had his agent go to Seattle and give them a list of four teams, which is now down to three because Dallas is out, four teams that he would take a trade to. They can't sweeten the pot for him. He's already making $35 million a year. So in this particular case, if you deliberately, and it's always deliberate,
yes,
if you deliberately leave him out of this letter, the only reason to do it is to anger him. It's truly stupid. And, you know, Mike, I think he's sort of a diva in this regard. He's been going around the country saying his offensive line isn't any good. And he's different than Dak Prescott. He won
a
Super Bowl.
He should have won two.
He's got a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to double down, but I am going to say that this, you're doing this to be antagonistic.
I think so. I mean, it's a deal. I'm not sure it's a big deal. I'm not going to reduce it to a little deal because just what you said. I mean, Russell has not said, okay, never mind, I'm going to stay here. No, this thing is still floating out there where you got three teams now that he has said, I'm fine going there. And this is management,
right,
as they can do in football, Tony, but can't get away with in basketball, as we just saw by James Harden. I mean, the player is going to absolutely get what he wants when he's a top 15 player in the NBA. Football, we're going to wait and see about that with the NFL. It's a deal. I don't know how much of one yet, because I don't know how much the remaining teams are willing to give up a king's ransom to get him. So we still got to find that out. But when they leave him out, it is intentional. It is antagonistic. Sure. They didn't just go, oh, wait, we left out our quarterback who led the team to the Super Bowl in back-to-back years. No, that's
not
what happened.
No. Because of the recent history with the Cowboys, his antenna will be up and he'll see that this was absolutely deliberate. Now, look, Seattle is a good team. Seattle is a good organization. Seattle has a good coach. He may stay there and he may be happy there. But if he was on the edge and he could live with the Bears and the Saints and what's the other team?
Was it Raiders?
Las Vegas? You know, then this thing, it's possible, Mike, that this drives him over the side.
Possible.
That's all I'm saying.
Possible.
Gonzaga plays in its 24th straight West Coast Conference final tonight. If Gonzaga wins, it will be its 19th championship. The opponent is BYU, who lost earlier in the year by only 11 points, the closest any WCC team has come. BYU was also the last team to beat Gonzaga, and that was in February of 2020. Wilbon, would you rather Gonzaga wins and goes into the NCAAs unbeaten, and they'd be 26-0, or would you rather see them lose and create even more uncertainty in the tournament?
No, I don't care about uncertainty. I want the big drama. I want them to go into the tournament, into the big dance, undefeated. The last time a team went all the way through and won a championship with an undefeated record, I was in high school. And around the corner, because it happened in Bloomington, Indiana. And I, like a typical Midwestern kid with that kind of proximity to it, I obsessed over it. I mean, Bob Knight had come and he recruited kids where I live in my playground. So I was obsessed with that. I'm less obsessed with this. It's taking a place across the country. But I want to see it, Tony. Only four teams have really gotten into it and been undefeated. I want to see a team with the pressure, and let's see if they have what it takes when they've got the bullseye on them to go through. Not the Patriots in 2008 or whatever that was when they got in, but they lost. Can you go all the way through undefeated? Yeah.
I have never been a huge Gonzaga fan. I've thought they've been overpraised and overseeded in recent years. But I, like you, want to see them go in there and see how far they can go. Because if you do this, it's immortality in college basketball.
Yes, it is.
You mentioned four teams. There was Indiana State with Larry Bird, went all the way to the finals. There was Kentucky. There was Vegas. And there was Wichita State. Three of the four got to the Final Four before losing. Wichita State went out early. I want to see if Gonzaga can do it. Because the question about Gonzaga is always the same. Are they sufficiently prepared coming out of the conference they come out of? Have they played enough good teams lately? Because their last 18 games, they've killed people, but they haven't killed good people. You got to go win six, and four of the teams you're going to play, at least four, are going to be real good. And that's what we want to see Absolutely. With Gonzaga. And if they do it, more power to them, right? If they do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's take a break. Coming up, David Price has a Cy Young as a starter. So would the Dodgers be wrong to move him to the bullpen?
And Jose Iglesias, he made a beautiful play on this ground ball, but has he already topped it? Toss-up is next. Yeah,
Gonzaga beat some really good teams.
Hadn't been that many.
Gonzaga beat Virginia, West Virginia, Iowa, Kansas, but they played them a long time ago.
They're good.
That's what we don't
want. I watched them last night.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Time for toss-up. Two men enter, and then two men leave having played toss-up. What's first?
Toss-up, should the Dodgers make David Price a starter or a reliever?
So let me give the background on this. This comes about because Price said, right before we signed Trevor Bauer, meaning the Dodgers, I reached out to Andrew Friedman, the GM, and I said, I'm willing to do whatever you guys need me to do. Look, the Dodgers have starters, even without David Price. What the Dodgers have lacked recently is a shutdown closer. Kenley Jansen, the last 2 years, hasn't been up to what he was previously. Now, David Price as a starter is tremendous. He's 150-80, Mike, with a Cy Young. But in his career, he's also made 19 relief appearances, both in the regular season and the postseason. Listen to this. 34 innings pitched. He's 3-0. He's got a 1.57 ERA, and he's got 39 strikeouts in 34 innings. So I'm going to give you two words, John Smoltz. And if you don't like those words, I'm going to give you two more words, Dennis Eckersley, because that's how they got to the Hall of Fame, by becoming relievers, even though they were starters as well and very effective. I think the Dodgers should start Price at the beginning of the year, and if they need him, put him in the bullpen.
You don't need to label him. You don't need to decide anything. You let him pitch. He's on your staff. He can do whatever you need. There aren't that many guys who can be hybrids like that. So if you need him to be a reliever, fine. If you get in a situation where you've got injuries, you've got weirdness in the schedule, you can slot him however you want to. There's no need to decide. But here's what's interesting to me about this story, is that he called the GM and said, I'll be whatever you want me to be. Not the manager, not Skip.
That's right.
Not the guy with the cold cuts in the corner office. Not that guy. It tells you who runs baseball. Sadly, general managers.
That guy's a great general manager, and the manager's a great manager.
The manager. We're having to call him Skip. The closest guy to you is the manager.
Toss up, better play by Jose Iglesias. The slow roller or the pop fly?
Okay, so let's start with the slow roller if we could. The slow roller is a great play. It's a textbook play by a shortstop. He runs in hard. He barehands it. He throws it perfectly as he's diving into the air. Right? His feet are not even on the ground. That is a great play. The other play is even greater. He goes back on a pop fly. He runs with his back to the plate. He catches it over his shoulder, and then he flips the ball out of his glove to the outfielder to double up somebody on second base. It is a more complicated play. So to me, Mike, that is why I think it is a greater play. Both plays great, But this is more complicated because you've added another person.
It's a show-off play. The runner's not going back to the bag. There's no urgency to that play. It's a show-off play. It's fine. It's artistic. All right? He doesn't need to do that. If the runner was even going back to second base, you pivot and you give it that the great shortstops of all time. I think of Ozzie Smith. You jump, you pivot. I'm sorry, Derek Jeter. And you throw it back to second to double him off. But he didn't mean to do that because the guy who's left second base, he's not even going back. He's admiring the play in the outfield, which is fine. The harder play over time for 140 years in baseball is charging that ball and getting enough of your fingers on it so that you can get some mustard on it, even underhand, and throw that runner out at first. That is still the harder play. The other play is just showing off. It's fine, but that's all it is.
I think they're great plays, and it always leads me to wonder, if the Angels have all these great players, why do they never make the playoffs? They never, make the playoffs.
Never. Can't see
why
them
is
after Labor Day. Where are they?
That's it. Let's take one last break. Still to come, what does the reacquisition of Trent Brown do for the Patriots?
And our periodic tribute to Brian Bosworth getting run over by Bo. You know where the Angels are, Tony? They're sitting around in a campfire wondering, when is Dak going to get his money? Is Dak going to get his money? Because everybody's wondering that. Oh.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Happy time, people. Happy 56th birthday, Brian Bosworth. He was first team All-American at Oklahoma and the best defender on Oklahoma's 1985 national championship team. Bosworth is the only two-time Butkus Award winner. He had swagger, he had interesting hair, he had ability, and he took steroids, which kept him out of the Orange Bowl in January 1987. Bosworth went to the Seahawks in the supplemental draft, but he was a bust in the pros. A shoulder injury forced him to retire after just 24 games and 4 sacks. He became an actor in some action films, including the Adam Sandler remake of The Longest Yard and some TV shows. He did commentary work on the original XFL telecast and on college football for Turner. In 1987, while on the Seahawks, Bosworth bragged that he would, quote, contain Bo Jackson. Well, on his way to 221 yards, Jackson ran right over Bosworth for a touchdown. When Bosworth got to his feet, Bo told him, quote, next time, make sure you have bus fare, unquote. But happy birthday.
Tony, George Solomon sent me when I was working for him at the Washington Post to cover that game. There wasn't a whole lot to cover. And I guarantee you, the next day, nobody was saying, when is Bosworth going to get his money? Because Bosworth didn't earn any money. 4 sacks in 24 games? I mean, that defines bust. But yet, he sort of created enough of an aura to make a living after that.
Happy anniversary, Kevin Love. On this day 10 years ago, while playing for the Timberwolves, Love got 16 points and 21 rebounds in a win over Indiana to record his 52nd straight double-double, breaking Moses Malone's record for the most consecutive double-doubles since the ABA-NBA merger. At the time, Love was an up-and-coming star. When LeBron James returned to Cleveland, he made sure the Cavaliers acquired Love. They played together 4 seasons. They won 1 championship. Those are the only winning seasons Love has had in the NBA. He played 6 straight losing seasons in Minnesota And since LeBron left, Cleveland has had two losing seasons and will likely have another one this year. Love has played only two games this season due to injury, but he is a career 18-point, 11-rebound guy, stuck on losing teams. You wonder if those four straight years going to the finals with LeBron felt like heaven.
Tony, I would love to see Kevin Love play for a winner now. I think he could help any number of teams. But the question is, he came into this season with $90-plus million owed on his contract. When is Love going to get his money? Now and forever, it seems. I just don't know that he can, but he is so admirable a person to me. His willingness, his courage to deal with mental health issues confronting athlete in sport make him admirable. I love Kevin Love, and I hope he gets out of that position and can play for somebody and have a meaningful few years trying to get to the playoffs or in the playoffs.
Happy trails to Kansas for Les Miles. Kansas at first put their football coach on administrative leave, then decided to let him go after reports of Miles' inappropriate behavior with female students while coaching at LSU came to light in an independent report released by a law firm last week. Miles had won a national championship at LSU. When the allegations of his behavior originally came up internally in 2013, LSU's then athletic director, Joe Oliva, recommended firing Miles, but Miles remained coach there three more years. Miles came to Kansas in 2018 on a five-year contract. He had 3 years left when he was released yesterday. The Jayhawks were 3-18 under Miles. Although the behavior happened at LSU, Kansas clearly determined it could not countenance keeping Miles. And this feels like the end of the line in college coaching for the 67-year-old Miles.
Tony, to me, it feels like it's probably the end of coaching, period. I mean, maybe some tiny spot out of the way, and who knows, a minor league will say okay, but it's even difficult to see that.
Yeah, well, I was thinking maybe the pros could take him, but college, there's just no chance in college, no chance. Let's go to the big finish. The Raiders traded offensive tackle Trent Brown to the Patriots. Is that significant?
He just left the Patriots where he started 18 games in their Super Bowl season. What is this shuttle? Colonial League final tonight, Elon versus Drexel. Who you got?
Well, Drexel is physically next door to Penn where my kid went. But Matty Williamson went to Elon and once got me an Elon golf hat, so I'm going to go with Elon. Horizon League final tonight, Oakland versus Cleveland State. Who you got?
I watched it rooting for Oakland last night, so I'm going to do it again tonight. They're 12-17 against Cleveland State, 18-7. What the heck? Northeast Conference final tonight, Mount St. Mary's versus Bryant. Who you got?
Okay, Bryant's got the much better record. They're a school in Rhode Island. But Mount St. Mary's is sort of just up the road from us in Washington. My friend Tom Callahan graduated from Mount St. Mary's. Susan O'Malley graduated from Mount St. Mary's. I'm going to go with the Mount, if that's okay with you. Last one, Summit League final tonight, Oral Roberts versus North Dakota State. Who you got?
You got some drama in that conference, Tony. They got last second shots. They got all kinds of stuff. I'm going to go with North Dakota State. I've been to North Dakota. Have you?
Never been to North Dakota or South Dakota. I want to see the heads.
Been to both Dakotas.
I want to see the heads. We're out of time.
The heads.
Try and do better the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheim.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcast. And now, straight from the Dakotas, here's SportsCenter.
Tracy Callahan, thank you. They're beautiful.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.